Okay, I'm going to present the next talk, Why Apache Cloud Stack, by Gabriel Bames-Brasher.
Thank you for the introduction. Thank you. So this presentation, I will try to sell you at least why you should consider Apache Cloud Stack when applying cloud computing environment. And to do that, I will follow this agenda. First, some basic concept of what is cloud computer orchestration, a comparison between different orchestrators, more technical comparison, and then comparison between different communities. I will analyze the cloud computing orchestration market, and then try to point out why you should consider Apache Cloud Stack. At the end, I have like a bonus topic that is the step forward. What I believe is the step forward for cloud computer orchestration. So in this point, a lot of guys here understand what is cloud stack and cloud computer orchestration, but basically it's the process of creating and maintaining a cloud computer environment. So you basically have a tool that can build an abstraction level for users and system admins. And this tool has to link different devices, different types of devices. And it also has to give a very friendly interface, because it's a complex environment, a lot of potential risks can happen, so it has to be also very reliable. We have quite a few alternatives to orchestration cloud computer environments. I will compare just those four. HP Helion was on Eucalyptus, so I'm talking about Eucalyptus, but now was bought by HP. So first, a technical comparison, trying to understand the different concepts, different designs, programming languages. The point here is that to build a cloud computer orchestration environment, to deploy a cloud orchestration environment, you have to build also a team that can manage, that can deploy this environment. So if you have guys that are more comfortable to deal with Java, you should avoid, for example, OpenStack, because you increase another stack of knowledge that they will have to run after to learn, to debug possible issues. If they are familiar with Java and C, for example, HPL or Eucalyptus might be a good choice. But also we have to deal with different concepts and different technologies and storage systems, networking, the hypervisors are different. So for example, Apache Cloud Stack has a great deal of flexibility because it offers a wide options of hypervisors. Unfortunately for others, we don't have that wider options. Also, Apache Cloud Stack has a well-known technology for storage. Others has, for example, OpenStack use ephemeral storage. They build their own storage upon well-known technologies. So it's another stack for the people that are going to manage these environments to learn, to understand. So I think the point here is there is no better or worst, but you should deal with a team and build a team upon a structure that are deploying, or you should choose one of those for the team that you have. The features are pretty similar. The end user doesn't have much difference at a first look. So the point basically is, at the back of the scenes, when everything is working, the biggest difference appears there. So also we are talking about open communities, and the fact of a community can drive the future of a project, we should more often even take this in consideration than sometimes technologies and designs. So here I have a month number of participants. We have OpenStack 6 times more participants around 2015 than CloudStack. I'm sorry, this is not that, this doesn't reflect the current context, but it gives an idea. And I should stress out that OpenStack has a lot of projects. CloudStack is basically much simpler project that links well-known technologies. For instance, OpenStack creates their storage project. They create a project, a project that wraps the hypervisors, creates agents on the hypervisors. And CloudStack is much more smaller project in terms of complexity and creating a new technology. So this also reflects on a smaller team to manage a smaller set of projects. So here's the monthly number of masters. CloudStack was doing very well. We just had a few members that left in that period, but we are now on track. We did an amazing job and recovered. Some guys recovered the monthly number of masters, and everything is running much smoother. But unfortunately, I couldn't find some records for the current stage. But we have like 2.5 for OpenStack against CloudStack. So here's something interesting, and maybe size doesn't matter at all, because the monthly participation ratio is a very interesting measure, because it says, for instance, Eucalyptus had 6, so for each mail, you have an average of 5 replies. So you have actually a very active community. If you send a mail, you are sure that people will embrace you, will discuss with you. And we see CloudStack very well in this graph, even better than OpenStack. And stressing out that this graph doesn't represent the current state. We are more active now, but it gives an idea of their communities. So we have an idea of the tools of the communities, but let's try to understand a bit of the market. So thanks to Julius, he updated this slide. But the idea, he's what, 2015? And was yet Citrix CloudStack, because the survey considered cloud platforms from Citrix and also Apache CloudStack. At the top, we see VMware and OpenStack. But unfortunately, CloudStack was on the bottom. Here we have a small and medium business, which normally are more, they tend to use open source because it's cheaper to deploy and to manage the environment. And here we see OpenStack is now taking a great piece of the market. Just stressing out, it's from 2015. But unfortunately, CloudStack still is on the bottom. Also, we have the people that are experimenting and planning to use, so it gives an idea of the future of that tool, how much it's going to grow. So now I'm going to try to tell you why you should consider Apache CloudStack. So if it is the same as, or even better, why does it have low adoption? So I want to avoid hard feelings. I think Gilles helped me. We have the same idea. But the reason that I can point is marketing. We have a great tool. We have a great community. But unfortunately, Apache CloudStack and Apache doesn't have really the same way to work with marketing than other people in our market. So for instance, Apache is well known for creating very reliable projects, great communities, but they don't have a way to manage marketing, for example, for CloudStack. They just don't put a marketing agenda for CloudStack or for one specific project. So we're talking about a very competitive market. We can't just fight with people that are putting a lot of money, with the politics that we have today, the things that are going on. So I think that the only point to justify the usage of CloudStack is the marketing. I'm open to discussions. If anyone wants to discuss this, please. So, again, why should you consider Apache Cloud Stack? Well, first, the Apache, a well-known and consolidated maintaining owner, the Apache way, for sure, is a great way for long-term project, for stability, as Gilles said before. And we are sure that each one contributing, they are there because they deserve to be there. They did their work, they help a lot, and then they become committer. They work a lot more, then become PMC. And it's different from other projects that you have people that just engage and pay and are there paying a lot of money, sponsoring, and they can just drive the project for their way. But also, we're talking about Apache Cloud Stack, which also is an excellent project and great platform. And I started to deal with Cloud Stack about 19 years old. I absolutely didn't know how to do anything. And I could just on the fly install, I followed the guide, I installed in cloud computer environment and was set up in my lab. Also, besides the community is very receptive, so it's small but very active, friendly, so I could interact very easily. It was fantastic. And I tried to deploy others environments what didn't have the same interaction, didn't have the same documentation, same motivation to work towards others. Also, the deployment, as I said, is very simplified, and we are using well-known technologies. So if you know how to use NFS, you can deal with storage in Cloud Stack. It also supports a broader range of technologies. You can deal with a lot of hypervisors. And hypervisors means that different applications have different setups and advantages from each hypervisor. So we are ensuring that your environment can provide different applications and get the best of different hypervisors. And also network, storage systems. So it's a very reliable, very flexible tool. It is actually one of the great, I'm following the Apache way, and I'm then saying, why should you consider Apache Cloud Stack? And now, and not why you should now install Apache Cloud Stack. So just point out how the release have over 180 pull request merges. I was really happy that we wasn't on the 410 or the 5 release because I wouldn't have to change this slide. We have had more than 75 bug fixes, a lot of new features. And it's important to point out that we have some problems, the community has some people that get out, we had started out on the fly. But we had a period without a release manager, which impacted on release on the release cadence. But thanks to you and the community that worked very hard, we could deal with all the problems and do a great job in this release. So let's try to understand now. Cloud Stack in a nutshell is a mature, easy to deploy, open source cloud computing system. Also, Cloud Stack includes an intuitive user interface and rich APIs. Can do about anything nowadays with APIs. You can power on, power off hosts, can migrate virtual machines, and you name it, you do. Also, is adopted by major players. We have a lot of, as Gilles pointed out, a lot we can say that use, but we have a lot of adoption. As Brazilian, I can say Brazil and South America is embracing Cloud Stack. Some guys, Australia OpenStack, Globe and University of São Paulo tried, they couldn't get it. They waste a lot of time, a lot of money. So we have proven to make a great deal, proven to people that try other channels that we are good, reliable, that we can manage very interesting environments. Globe, for instance, is the bigger data center in South America. No, sorry, University of São Paulo. Globe is also big, but... So takeaways. The cloud stack is far from over. The cloud stack wars, and war in good sense, of course. Apache Cloud Stack is alive and kicking. And we may be a small community, but we are very active. And I was thinking also, we should improve our marketing. This will make this project reach more people and show its value. But we also should consider this step forward. What comes next in cloud computer orchestration? What we are waiting for next 5, 10 years? I don't know. So we have some guys, IBM, some researchers, VMware doing some works, but we have nothing clear yet, nothing that is spread out. So what about a cloud autonomic management? So for instance, this is an environment. I have different hypervisors, very flexible environment. I can use the containers, I can use any hypervisor. I can build lots of clusters and deploy virtual machines. But unfortunately, I have a lot of servers that are powered on without any virtual machines. I do not balance virtual machines environment, so I can have overloaded hosts, underloaded hosts. And the main idea is to have something that can migrate virtual machines, can power on, power off hosts autonomically without a need for human activity, interaction, would be just on the fly doing this all day. So, for instance, we would power off a lot of hosts and the environment would look like that now. So, we could have an autonomous agents managing clusters. So, just explaining, we are sure that we can migrate virtual machines between hosts on the same cluster, so it is also good to manage for that. And also we have the way to distribute autonomous agents, because we are talking about very vast dynamic environments. So to deal with these workloads and manage the environment before the workloads change, we should spread a lot of agents managing small points. And although we lost the global optimum, we can achieve a lot of local optimums in those clusters. So when we will be able to use that? So how far are we from this? And good news is that we are right there. So we have an open source code that is a plugin for Cloud Stack. And I believe this is a great opportunity to make Cloud Stack House another push and show people that we are concerned with the next step on cloud computer orchestration, that we are looking towards to make it even better. So I will try to show you a demo here. I hope it works. If it don't work, we can just see it and discuss, make questions. So here I have a Apache Cloud Stack and Brazil infrastructure. The ping is not very good here, unfortunately. So now we can see as a daemon view. We can have an idea of the resources usage. Can have some details here. The infrastructure is a basic infrastructure just for a lab, for teach some students, for undergrad students. And here we have some hosts. But we don't have a really way to understand if we have overloaded hosts or how is the environment. And neither we can manage it autonomously. So we build web application that can manage it through the Cloud Stack API. So just put the address and the API key from the admin and hope it works.
Hey Andrea, are you discovering the Cloud Stack environment right now?
Yeah.
That's what the progress bar is.
That's right. It's discovering, and it is also building an interface that will try to give us a, because we nowadays we manage environments by looking at the graphs and numbers, and sometimes it's pretty hard to understand what's really going. So this is kind of a prototype of what we could look at the environment and have an idea of. So for example, we have, oh, this projector is not good with this color. I'm sorry. Okay.
It looks better than this.
Okay. We have a tornado and twister here. Have a tornado and twister here. So, for example, I could go in through the interface and view some instance, but it's the same thing as I could go a dashboard and look at this. But here I have some colors change, and luck of mine, some students are now stressing some virtual machines, and I can show that. So here I have 93% of CPU users. Here I have almost zero, and here 44. So basically, I can on the fly see a snapshot of the environment and understand if there is an overloaded host, where our virtual machine is staying, but it still doesn't manage the environment. So to do that, we have some heuristics that we can apply here and choose. This one is no management, it's good for maintenance. For example, if I need some maintenance and I don't want an agent just migrating and doing all the mess while I'm trying to put some host in maintenance or doing anything. And here is to dispersion. So while he's working, while he's going to work here, I will explain these stats. So CPU equilibrium and memory equilibrium help you to know if you have unbalanced environment. So as closer to zero indicates that it's very balanced environment because it's the standard deviation of each host user. So as close to zero, they have an equilibrium between them. And the consolidation ratio indicates how is your user of the whole environment. So let's say that we want to have 18% of the user, so we are not with idle hosts. In this case, we have a lot of idle resources here. Have an even host without any users, have empty space here. Here we a lot of things we could manage to power off, but we don't have anything to do then. Okay, it is not migrating anything yet. Let me see. Okay, here I should have taken the environment off this platform and then plug it in because I would have sure that the agent wouldn't start to manage at that moment. We have set a risk that doesn't manage all the time, just have a space. So if a cluster has been managed, for instance, 5 minutes ago, it doesn't manage. And I should take care of that on the demo because we don't have that much time. I think you can do any questions and we hope the guy will work.
So that service is running independently from ClaudStack.
Yeah, this is like a management as a service that you can go put your API keys, and then our manager go through the ClaudStack API and starts to list hosts, list clusters, and then see which virtual machines each host, and goes building this interface, and then you have all this data, and he starts to act upon this data that he collected.
He's doing all of that from ClaudStack API.
Yeah, yeah. Some time ago, we couldn't power on, power off host, but now ClaudStack support this through this API, so we can even include more heuristics here now to save energy. Okay, maybe he's going to work, I hope.
So what optimizations do you have right now? Like, it looks like you have optimizations to spread the load. Like, if you have VMs that have high usage, then you can spread them across hosts. And it looks like you might also be able to do something like reducing the cost of your infrastructure by powering off nodes that are underused and stuff like that. So can you give us a little bit of details on kind of the types of problems that you're solving for right now with this?
Great. Okay. This plugin doesn't power off host yet. It's just a question of exchange to use the new API commons, because we had an open source project that you had to install in cloud in our environment instead of just using this plugin. And that open source that we provide, it has more risks. So we can balance the virtual machines. So you can look for a more balanced host usage. And also, when we are balancing virtual machines, you are make a similarity comparison between hosts, candidates who receive that virtual machine. So you avoid to put a virtual machine that is CPU bound, for example, with a lot of CPU bound virtual machines. You try to look for other options. So doing everything that it can to avoid any service degradation. And we also have risks that allow to power off hosts, idle hosts. So it basically sorts out the host by users and gets the last used host and tries to migrate to other hosts. And if they get idle, it power off. And as soon as you need resources, it power on a host and you can deploy a virtual machine at that host. So at this point, we have just these two alternatives. We are working on with also affinity with the network. We are working with, we are also trying to put data through the time to have some machine learning. Then he can understand the environment and not just a snapshot of the environment that he has today. So we have a lot of things to do. Okay, he worked. Okay, here we are now. We have these boxes are starting to be more interesting. We have not that much difference. And here we can see also, we were at 5, the standard deviation CPU, now is 1.8. Memory also got down. And this guy will stay working all day trying to do this. While you have more or less virtual machine in your environment, he will be staying working. So you can also plug on the fly another host, and he will get on the next time that he gets the environment data, he will update and we will have this new host on to apply its heuristics.
Are you doing it based on like a polling, so like every 5 minutes it will check and then rebalance, or are you doing it more on like the event logs, for example, so watching what's happening on the actual API calls? Which mechanism are you using for understanding what the current state of things are?
Okay, we nowadays we can change the risk. We have a risk that setups. I will look the last time, every time that I manage a cluster, mark that cluster as managed with a timestamp. And then I have a risk that says you cannot manage a host if he was managed at X time. So you can reduce, and we can each act an intelligence to this manager that he knows if the environment isn't changed, he can put this timestamp relaxer. If this environment is very dynamic, it can reduce. So every time he can manage a cluster, he would try to manage. So it is based on the last time he managed a cluster.
So for the future of this, I'm guessing that you're ideally going to be looking to do things like making sure that the CPU, memory, and network, and all that sort of stuff, that you don't have hotspots in your data center, and that you are able to to basically move around the VMs to make sure that the VMs are, that the actual hosts are kind of optimized for the workload that are being run on the infrastructure. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. We are always trying to strive to avoid any service degradation or also avoid a lot of energy consumption. This environment has just 36% of users. A lot of this could be powered off. But we also are pursuing new risks, and we didn't talk. One of the guys that helped us was from LizWeb that said, oh, we need to balance. We just began, okay, let's power off us. And then we discovered people, no, we don't want power off. We just want balance. Then we, okay, let's build another risk here.
Just a quick question. So how would you say this compares to VMware's distributed resource scheduler? It seems like a similar concept, but kind of like more general. You're covering all of the different hypervisors.
Yeah. The difference here is more the flexibility. Anyone could change its risk. And also, it applies to any hypervisor. We don't have to get locked with VMware in your environment. And so it's more about, they also do a great job, but they do a job for VMware.
And as far as this product is concerned, it does cover all of the hypervisors that are currently supported in CloudStack?
If CloudStack supports, we support.
And just to see, so if we threw in an extra hypervisor tomorrow, is it built in a generic enough fashion that it can leverage that hypervisor right away, or does that require changing code on your end to make that happen?
Thanks to a recent pull request that was merged, that now we can power on and power off host by management interface, so we are kind of free from hypervisors. Okay. So I assume that API call is still working, we can work.
And then I might have missed it, but this particular product, how is this available? Is this just open source, or is this you go through a certain vendor?
Yeah, now we have like a demo that we can show to people and put them a link for them to test in their environment and see what they can see. It's kind of, we have just the only environment that we have as a client, let's say that, is this lab at my university, and it runs this for some time. And we are trying to reach people and show this new technology and also trying to spread CloudStack with this.
And if nobody else has anything, I'll just keep going here. from a design standpoint, do you have like a single process managing your entire CloudStack cloud, or do you have this distributed into a process per compute cluster? Can you migrate cross compute clusters, as long as it's within the same hypervisor? How does that look?
Nowadays, we are just, each agent just locks a cluster for him to manage. So until he doesn't finish, anyone can touch that cluster. And once he finishes, he marks with a timestamp, and another agent could grab that cluster. Basically, and a risk is that defines if he cannot or can get that cluster for some time. So we are basically working with cluster because we are sure that we can migrate virtual machines without any storage problem, any CPU problem. It's just to minimize the complexity of the actions for now. And also because the environment is very big, we try to understand, we see a lot of problems that the complexity just can't handle such environments. And in cluster, we have a size limited by the hypervisor. For example, Zen Server can, I think, 16 physical machines, if I'm not mistaken, and about 4,000 virtual machines. So we,
okay, so just to make sure I understand, it operates at the cluster level, so VMs that get automatically migrated to other hosts are migrated to hosts within the same cluster only right now.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
If you migrate virtual machines from some cluster to another cluster, she will be managing when an agent reach that other cluster is related to the cluster.
Great, thanks.
Do you keep a log of all the migrations that you kicked off?
Sorry?
Do you keep a log of all the changes that you have made to the system? So can I go to a tab and say, at, you know, just whatever migration just happened, these are the four virtual machines I migrated.
Yeah, we keep a file logging. That okay. file is good to make statistics sometimes, to get the file and understand how the tool is working.
And do you throttle how many migrations do you do at a time, or not yet?
Yeah, we are counting each time. The manager basically he maps migrations on the cluster, and he tries to make. So he tries by sending a string of migrations to CloudStack. If CloudStack can handle, great. If not, next time he will try to achieve another optimization goal. So at this time he's counting these migrations that he could do, and we are counting also the resource usage before and after the agents. We can have an idea.
Okay, thanks.
Any more questions? If you want to discuss about the CloudStack marketing or anything, if you...
I just keep going, yeah. I mean, I just stepped in the door 30 minutes ago, so I might as well just keep talking. And you said this is implemented as an API plugin. Now, is this code checked into the standard CloudStack repo, or is this something that lives maybe at the university right now, and there's not been any pull request yet for it?
I was just
curious if the code that this is implemented as an API plugin in CloudStack.
Oh no, we install, it's like an online service that we can provide, and we also have a plugin open source that you could install in your environment, but this keep running in a separate environment.
Okay.
And just send it through the API with the API keys.
I see. I was thinking you had your own separate processes, but that you also had an API plugin in CloudStack to kind of facilitate, you know, retrieving some of the information.
No, we are completely separated from CloudStack.
Just the processes of your own running against CloudStack's standard API.
Yeah, we also see that this is a good way because we don't steal any resource from the environment that is being managed, so we don't risk to get some service degradation because of us.
Okay, cool. That was good. I figured you had your own processes, but I thought maybe you also had a CloudStack plugin as well. But thank you.
So I'm guessing when you point this at CloudStack, you're pointing it as a administrator, right? Do you think there potentially could be a use case for accounts, i.e. different tenants, to do some optimization within their own environment?
Like different goals at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, because you often get with the large service providers, they've got zones or pods which are dedicated to certain... almost could this become something that's used by users, not by the people
right.
who are actually operating the cloud?
It's just... We now... The risk is something hard code, let's say. We cannot have an interface and user clicks or choose his risks. But we could add some risk, like he lists the host. If the host is in zone A, he does some risk. If zone is in zone B, he does another risk. So he can manage something static, nothing dynamic in terms of the environment and different goals.
I'm more actually going to speak to Giles's question in the sense that usually you don't actually want your users to know what hosts are their stuff is running on. So in a lot of cases, you wouldn't actually want that to be the case because you want to hide the actual infrastructure from your users so that it's impossible for them to exploit the actual like infrastructure in which they're running on. So I actually would argue that it that you shouldn't do that as a in principle, but that's just fair enough.
Well, and I guess the idea too, the idea behind this is to make sure that everything is running smoothly anyways, so if we could handle that behind the scenes, there would be no need to surface anything anyways, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Optimizing from the service provider perspective.
Exactly, okay. And as long as everything's running smoothly, the users don't care.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our goal is to make what the provider wants with this, so if the provider should know what the users would accept. For example, if he's powering off host, their users should accept some kind of service degradation because it might have some competition among virtual machines in order to power off host. Or if it's an environment that you cannot have service degradation, then the provider would have to at least a zone, specific zone or environment to.
So that's a really good point, actually. Do you have the concept of like an SLA in there of the amount of degradation that you will accept, so that basically you can say we'll accept X amount of degradation, so you can optimize the power consumption and the packing of VMs up to a certain SLA.
For now, our risk doesn't consider this, but it's kind of you would have to put a limit until how far you can put virtual machines in host. So you had a ratio of the host resource, host users, and trying to figure out how you are getting. If you are getting a lot of users, then you stop and doesn't turn any other host off. You also can have some idle hosts to make sure that incoming deployment workload would fit without any time until power on another host.
It looked like you had multiple heuristics that you could select from in order to optimize your cloud, like you were just saying, based on X or Y. Is that the case, first of all?
Yeah, the idea is that you have a set of risks, like here, for example, you would list some risks and you choose what you want for.
So then, are those applied cloud-wide, or can you specify that on a cluster-by-cluster basis or something like that?
Okay, for now it's cloud-wide, but for instance, my lab, we have the name Tornado, Twister, Hurricane, because we have some guys very noisy. And we have some risks that try always power off first the most noise host. So it was kind of oriented to a specific cluster that was very noisy. So yeah.
Okay. And if someone is running this, is that list of heuristics implemented in a pluggable fashion where somebody could come along and write their own algorithm and just plug it into an existing instance of your environment and then select that heuristic, or do they have to go and change your code?
We have an interface that has a set of we have two basic methods, and if your interface do these methods, you can do which is basically map virtual machines at the end of the day. So if you're mapping virtual machines migrations, you could just plug another risk.
Okay, great. Anybody else? You want to take it?
Just as a side note, just because I know we're probably going to be finishing up here, like from the community perspective, I'm really happy that you're doing this. This is really interesting stuff, and I think that there's a lot of ways this can go, but I think every way is really valuable to the community. So I really appreciate your time and effort on this. I think it really is an interesting thing to be putting time into. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much for the talk.